Now, Russia says road and rail traffic has resumed on the major bridge connecting Crimea to mainland Russia. As we reported earlier, it was damaged in an explosion early on Saturday. Let's show you where that explosion took place and explain why it's significant. The areas shown in red are under the control of Russian forces and their separatist allies. The Kerch Bridge is a critical route supplying Moscow's troops in southern Ukraine and the naval port of Sebastopol. Al Jazeera's Mohammed Val joins us now live from Moscow with more on the Russian investigation into the explosion. The Kremlin wants answers, Mohammed. What's the latest in the investigation?
Yes, fully. The special investigation committee that was appointed on Saturday by President Vladimir Putin started its work immediately. And divers went underwater at 6 o'clock this morning looking for clues among the destroyed parts of the bridge. Also, above the waterline, a lot of inspection going on, and hopefully something might come up from that investigation later today, according to Russian officials. On Saturday, right after that blast, a number of officials unofficially pointed at Ukraine as the party to blame and as the party which holds the responsibility behind the blast. For instance, the head of the Foreign Relations Committee in the parliament, the State Duma, he basically said that he had no doubt Ukraine was behind it. And if proven officially, the punishment or the response should be severe. The head of the Crimean parliament, appointed, of course, by Russia, he also said the Ukrainian vandals have been able to reach our bridge with their bloody hands. So that's a direct accusation against Ukraine. But until now, no official blame has been allotted. And Vladimir Putin gave the responsibility of the security of the bridge and security in general for the supply lines, the gas and other supplies going to Crimea, to the federal security services of the Russian Federation. Russia is trying to take its time before it officially announces who was behind this blast against the bridge in Crimea.
Thank you for that update. Mohammed Val, live there in Moscow. Now, more now on the power cut at the Ukrainian-Russian-controlled Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant that's forced it to switch to emergency generators. Joining us live on the News Hour from Vienna is Robert Kelly, who's a distinguished fellow at the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute and a former nuclear inspections director at the IAEA. Thank you so much for joining us. The IAEA has issued several warnings about the threat of a nuclear meltdown at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant over the past several weeks. Now we understand the plant has lost its last remaining external power plant and it's switched to backup diesel generators. How concerning is this first?
The quality of the reporting we're getting is very poor. What we see is that there are four major power lines leaving the plant. And when the plant is operating, it sells electricity over these 750,000 volt lines. All four of those lines have been cut. Therefore, the plant can't produce electricity and sell it, and so it's been shut down. What it needs is some smaller lines that come from a nearby coal-burning plant to keep its safety systems going, and as far as we can tell, those are working.
Okay.
The idea that it's on a generator is a little misleading as well. There are 20 generators on this site, each of which has enough fuel for 10 days. Mm-hmm. They can be shared between the six units, and any one generator can keep any one plant cool. So the hysteria that's going on about the danger of what's happening is quite overstated.
Okay, so you think there's a bit of hysteria going on here. But explain to our viewers, if you can, Mr. Kelly, why a continuous source of power is necessary, despite the fact that all six reactors of the plant are shut down.
All six reactors are shut down. One of them has been shut down for over 6 months. The problem is that after a nuclear plant shuts down, heat continues to be produced for many months from the radioactive decay in the fuel. And there's enough heat there that if you don't cool it with water at a low level compared to when it's running, producing power, the plant will begin to overheat. The fuel can be damaged and the fuel could even melt. if it's not cooled after a few days. Mm. So it's very important to keep it cooled, but it doesn't require a tremendous amount of electricity to do that. And the nearby coal-burning plant supplies enough electricity for that purpose.
Right. You've said there is enough power from the generators. There are several of them, you said, for 10 days. But what happens after that? If the diesel generators fail after 10 days, are we looking at an immediate meltdown?
I think that's really overstating the problem, because there are 20 generators, each of which has enough fuel for 10 days. You're probably looking at closer to 40. It's very hard to understand that they would not be able to supply electricity from a coal plant that's 2 kilometers away during that time. They've had to deal with this problem several times. Remember that this plant is worth about $40 billion. Mm. So the Russians want it as a war prize, and they want to have it intact so they can use it after the war. And the Ukrainians know that it's their property, and they want it after the war. So whoever wins the war wants this $40 billion plant intact. I think that gives them plenty of incentive to keep the plant safe and cooled.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, the significance and importance of this plant, and you talked about hysteria there. Do you think that also has a role in everything that we're hearing about what's happening at Zaporizhia right now?
There's no question that the plant could melt down. All nuclear plants could melt down, and that's why they're designed to not melt down, and they have redundant sources. In this particular case, we've gone further down the safety chain, and there are fewer redundant sources than there used to be. But I think there's plenty of energy in the region and from the generators to keep this plant cool until somebody wins the war and takes it as a prize.
All right. Thank you so much for talking to us. Thank you for your insight. Robert Kelly, former director at the IEA, joining us there from Vienna.
Nice to be with you.